Thank you very much, Mayor Hales, Commissioner Fish, Commissioner Fritz, Commissioner Novick. My name is Greg Astley. I'm the new Director of Government Affairs for the Oregon Restaurant and Lodging Association. Been on the job less than 6 months. And thank you for allowing us to come here and speak to this resolution today. Commissioner Novick, I'm sorry we missed your earlier comments, but clearly there was a little disturbance earlier today that we weren't able to get into the building and hear that. So we're glad that that's over with, and we appreciate the time that you've given us here today. Really, what I'm here is to just communicate from the Restaurant and Lodging Association and our 2,800 members that we are here as a resource for you. We want to be a part of the ongoing discussion. We want to be a part of the discussion at the beginning and not after things have been decided. We recognize the serious nature of this issue. Clearly, again, we have a lot of members, folks like Kurt and Valerie, who do good practices. They have to, or they won't be able to stay in business. And we want to make sure that those folks are available to speak with you regarding this issue or any others that come up in the future. So any options that come up, we would like to be a part of that conversation. We want to be partners with you to make sure that, you know, Portland continues to be the great livable city that it is, a destination for people to come and visit. We have a tremendous brand, both in the state of Oregon and in the city of Portland. It's evidenced by the people that come here every day, every week, every month, and bring their hard-earned dollars to spend in our restaurants and our hotels. So we just want to make sure that you're aware that we're here. We'd like to have that discussion and be a part of the conversation. And thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thanks very much. Anyone else that would like to speak on this item?
Is there Paul Rayner?
Okay, then I believe we're ready to take a vote on the resolution. So let's do that, please.
Novick?
Sometimes there are big issues that are all around you that you don't know about until you read about them in the New York Times, and that was the case for me here. I had no idea how many people live their lives never knowing when the next shift is going to be until the New York Times started writing about it a couple of years ago. And I called up my friends at UFCW and the Working Families Party and said, do these things happen to workers in Portland? And they said, you bet they do. So it has been a great honor to work with Jeff at UFCW and Carly at the Working Families Party on this issue and thinking about this issue and raising awareness of this issue. I also really, really appreciate the work of Andrea Valderrama and Katie Shriver and my staff who've dedicated countless hours to this issue. And I also want to thank the business representatives, owners, and other management folks who've been willing to engage in discussions about these issues with us. And I really appreciate the workers that came here today and were able to wait quite some time in order to speak to us. I am committed to working on this issue by closely monitoring next year's state legislative action. I do think that we should have a discussion about whether this issue should be part of our legislative agenda. If the legislature does not adopt a strong statewide policy, I definitely want to explore the idea of taking action here in Portland when the preemption is expired. But again, we'll have a robust public process and have a lot of input from stakeholders as we develop such a policy. So thank you, members of the council, for hearing about this issue. Thanks to everybody who's been involved, and I vote aye.
I was interested in the testimony from the Working Families Party and from Dr. King about it's more prevalently a challenge for women and from people of color, because I've had multiple experiences of this in the jobs that I had had growing up. My daughter also has been working in retail, and in fact, when earlier in the year when Commissioner Novick was thinking about could we get something done in Portland before the legislature preempted us, I would take some of the suggestions back to my daughter, and she would say, no, because she was doing double backs from, you know, the clopenings, and she would not want that changed unless there was some guaranteed work hours. So it cannot be just the scheduling. It has to go along with set work hours. I mean, you know, enough hours in a week to make it worth actually going to the job in the first place. And we also had this discussion early, I think in 2009 or before that, with the service master workers in the contract at Memorial Coliseum. So it is something that actually we probably do have some workers in our city government who are having scheduling challenges, and we should look into that. I was very concerned to hear the testimony from the lady who works at Janus Youth Services, and I know that that is very prevalent in foster care and in youth care facilities, having helped on the picket line at Trillium Services once when I think they eventually settled for a 15-cent an hour raise or something, you know, really very challenging when they're working with children and families who are in really chaotic situations, and yet the staff are not paid properly. So I very much appreciate this coming forward and for your kind of starting the conversation, Commissioner Novick, and yes, indeed, we shall all be paying attention in the legislative session, and hopefully we will get something done there as well. Thank you. Aye.
This has been a day with a lot of drama. I think this is our last item, Mayor.
It is.
So let me just say, Commissioner Novick, thank you for putting this on our agenda. Thank you for raising the visibility around this issue. And you said something very powerful about sometimes there's an issue that's around you, but it takes an event or leadership to actually elevate it. Years ago in another life, I represented healthcare workers. And healthcare workers in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut organized and formed a union primarily because they weren't receiving health care in their jobs. Low-wage workers in hospitals and nursing homes, and they weren't eligible for health care benefits. Well, there was a time when obviously that was the norm or acceptable, but when we think back in time, it's ridiculous that someone could work in a hospital and not have a health benefit. You just would think that's, how could that possibly be? Well, but that in turn sparked a major organizing drive and a fight to get fair wages and benefits in a healthcare setting. So we make progress, but we do it not necessarily in a linear line. We do it when issues are flagged, and then we come together. I was very struck by the testimony today, and I thank the folks who came out and who braved this day and were willing to stick around. And this is something that I hope we seriously consider for our legislative agenda. And as to the concerns that have been raised by some folks here who came today talking about their unique industry, I'm reminded that when Commissioner Fritz led an effort around earned sick leave, a lot of the time she spent was actually trying to understand different workplaces and the different cultures and expectations of workplaces. And we had some very vigorous discussions, I remember, both with private employers and even some of our labor friends about how earned sick leave would work. If we ever get to the day where this council is involved in any kind of sausage making, I think we can assure our friends, particularly in the business community, that we will engage people and talk about, and we'll be interested, not just engage, we'll be very interested in learning the unique characteristics of each workplace so that we strike the right balance. That's not what Steve is proposing now. Steve has done this to raise visibility around an issue that a lot of people care about. For that, I'm grateful. Thanks to everyone who testified, and thanks to our friends at UFCW 555 and the Working Family Parties and others who, not surprisingly, are in the forefront of this movement. Aye.
Else?
Well, thank you, Commissioner Novick, for shining a light on this issue and bringing a really helpful coalition of people here today to teach us a bit about it and start a conversation that needs to lead to policy. Appreciate Professor King living up to the PSU motto of letting knowledge serve the city. Very, very illuminating and complete information about this issue. So thank you. UFCW Local 555, as usual, paying attention to people and their needs in our community and responsible employers who are here to be participants in that discussion. So it's heartening to see that. And, you know, I understand the concern from employers about regulation, but, of course, we don't regulate any industry because of the responsible people. Hammurabi created the first building code in 1700 BC. I went to work in my very first seasonal job as a 16-year-old working for a painting contractor, and before OSHA even required that they upgrade their ventilators to deal with the epoxy paint that we were spraying in high school auditoriums and restrooms that were being built in Northern Virginia, the Heim Company was issuing the proper kind of charcoal filter respirator to our workers so they would be protected. They were a responsible employer, but of course OSHA did need to require that every contractor do that because some didn't. And that's why we have to adopt regulations. It's not because of the responsible ones, but because of irresponsible ones or ones that are lagging. And to the subject of preemption, this is one of those issues where, in my opinion, the legislature should act first because it would be better to do this statewide. There's some issues where it's probably better for us to lead, but this would be a great issue for the legislature to lead on first. And I think maybe the discussion about preemption of the legislature has evolved a little bit to the legislature has the first right of refusal, but they shouldn't stop us from enacting progressive public policy if they want to give it a pass, rather than saying, no one do anything, which is where we've been on some state preemptions for too long. So again, I think this is a good discussion to start. Often cities have led these issues, and I'm proud of the leadership that we have shown over time in this city in the last 4 years, and far before that. I think when I was a relatively new city commissioner, we were adopting domestic partners policy that now we talk about in terms of marriage equality. So having cities take progressive public policy positions and think about the people that we serve in new ways like this is great. And it's sick leave, it's $15 an hour, it's ban the box. It's a lot of cases where the city has done the right thing, and that ultimately, in many cases, has paid dividends beyond the city limits. And in environmental policy as well. I really appreciated that she's left, but I really appreciated Tia raising the point about housing, because we're in a housing crisis in this city. Our housing prices went up faster than any city in the country, a statistic that, as a mayor and chief tub thumper, I shouldn't keep bringing up, because it's not a good statistic that we went up by 11% year over year, but we did. And so, therefore, our workers are really under pressure. And so if they can't make a living wage, if they can't have the hours they need to pay the rent, as she was describing so clearly, then that's a big problem, and it's a problem that, once again, it gets exported to everyone else to help solve. So this is a really important discussion, Steve. I'm really glad that you started it. I look forward to having it become real public policy real soon. Aye. Thank you all very much, and we're recessed
Mayor,
till tomorrow.
We need to vote on the substitute 1143.
11:43. Did I miss something? Sorry.
I think we were waiting for.
Oh, right. We were waiting for people to come
right.
over, and they
yeah,
were
for
there
the
were
record.
None. Okay,
yeah.
So we've adopted the substitute, and now we need to adopt.
No one wished to test it. Was left
okay.
to testify.
So now we approved the substitute, didn't we?
Yes.
Okay. So now we'll take a vote on the underlying ordinance, please.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. And now we're recessed till tomorrow at 2 p.m. Thank you. Oi.